I desire your prayers. I'm thinking about a challenge that I think we all recognize, and there's a lot of scripture on it. The challenge of living a spiritual life, a Christian life, and living a common, normal, everyday life. And you've got to do it. And so there's a challenge. One of the challenges is that how exactly do we do that? People that do a lot have more problems with this. I'll just say that. People that don't busy themselves much is not much worried about this. But this is normal life. And there was some passages of scriptures. One of them is where Jesus is telling the parable of the sower. And in the parable of the sower went forth and sowed seeds. And in that illustration, the sower just sowed, just went sowing. He sowed seeds everywhere, and they fell on the numerous places. As an analogy, those various places represented positions where people can be in life. And one of the places that they fell was among thorns. And when Jesus gave the description of what that meant, he said, these was the cares of life. And we all will have cares of life. And so how do we actually, it's been a challenge. There's been people that have looked at this and said, the best way to handle this and keep myself is scripture. There's a scripture that said the pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the widows and the orphans in their distresses and keep yourself unspotted from the world. So the idea, that's a very, very distinct balance between the two. But some have taken the idea of keeping themselves pure, and they looked at it and said, I remember hearing the story of one guy that actually had himself built in to a block room. He had himself built into it. I mean, they left a hole to put stuff through and take stuff out, but they built it without door. They built it and put him in because his desire is to keep himself unspotted from the world. He wanted to focus himself and his life only on the things, only on spiritual and right things. And God never intended you or me or anyone to be built into a room to keep himself from the world. The Lord wanted us to live in the world. The Lord wanted us to visit the poor. He wanted us to take care of people. He wanted us to live a normal life with spirituality. I mean, we do the things we do with spirituality. Understand what I'm saying? There's a balance between the two. It is a great challenge to say, where do I stop this and start this? Where do I make my devotions at? Do I say I'm going to service every time, and there's no exception, and don't you dare have an exception to me? Brother Veda McMillan one time testified. He got upset at his wife. This is actually some kind. This is Grandpa, but he testified this openly in Neosho Chapel years ago. He came and he testified that he was. He said that he had gotten a little upset at his wife because it was time to go to service, and she was on the phone. And he was. It's time to go to service, and he did not. He was not late to service. He wanted to go. And he ended up telling us, he said, you know, I was getting upset because I go to service on time. That's my devotion. That's what I do. But my wife was doing what we come here to get so we could go do. She was helping a soul that had a need, that had called her, I need help, pray for me. And she was doing that. And there's always going to be that in life. We live a normal, God did not expect, does not want us to make ourselves artificially recognizable as some group of something. He don't want us to do that. He wants us, the way that the first century saints lived was a more modest attire than the world around them. It was the attire, but a more modest attire. They did not want to stand out as this is the Jehovah Witnesses. This is the, whatever you can put a title to, that you look and say, no, these are plain common Christian people, and he didn't want us to stand out like that. He doesn't want us to build ourselves up in a block room. We're to live a normal life, but the challenge is that there is a challenge, because where there's a thorns, they're called thorns in the scriptures. And there's different places where people struggled with this. There was a story where Mary and Martha, and the Lord tells us about this for our consideration. There was a time to where the necessary thing Jesus was going to impart to them, there's time to drop what you're doing. There's things of this natural life that is not as important as your soul. That was distinctly set in this passage of scriptures. And Mary, I don't think Mary was lazy or indifferent or mean or anything. The scripture says none of those things. She took advantage of the needs. She had needs, and she took advantage of the time that she was going to be able to get something for eternity. And she sat at Jesus' feet. But Martha, 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 you're cumbered about with how much? Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about with many things. It shows distinctly there in that scripture that there's briars. But can any of us say that we're not going to eat anymore? That's not trying to say that. It's not going to say that there's not a time to cook and to make ready and to do those things, because surely there is. And but within that, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about much. But in the cumbering of the things that we have to do, we can live a spiritual life to God. This is the balance of what we're doing. Don't let the thorns, choke out, because that's what the thorns did. The thorns choked out. It's necessary for men to make a living for their families. It's necessary for the housework to be done. There's necessary for the yard to be. There's a necessary thing to do that. But we don't allow those things to choke out our spirituality. We are to have power and grace of God to live a normal spiritual life in this world, representing Christ in the things that He allows us to do in life. He doesn't say build yourself up in a building without a door. He says, no, I want to put you to the world. And when I put you to the world, you're going to have jobs. You're going to have unsaved family members to visit and deal with. You're going to have things to deal with. You're going to get phone calls. You're going to do all of these things. And within all of that's the balance of the Holy Ghost. We really need the Lord to help us, if you will, to blow the winds the right directions for us. Because there is always going to be a balance. You just say, well, money's not important. Okay, try that one. But isn't it? Of course economy is. Of course those things. But it's not as important as everything. And enough's plenty. And there's a place in here that we can live the way that the Lord wants us to. So I want to look at a scripture starting off And I do think it's a struggle sometimes to know where the balance really is. And it's, like I say, it's in the scriptures a number of times and places. But there's a scripture I was looking at in the 107th Psalm that I thought was very interesting. And I want to talk more about, that was kind of a setup. But what I want to really talk about is that our need to dive in. Our need to, we had it in Sunday school, was that the memory verse, Brother Mike? The memory verse, well, the memory verse. What was the memory verse in the book today? Somebody get that for me real quick. Because I just almost come up with it. And every man presses his way, and every man presses his way in it. And the need for the desire that I need to press in there. There's a scripture that talks about that the river that came out from under the throne and it went down, and the prophet goes and he looks and he says, and he measured it down 1,000, and it was ankle deep. And he measured it again, down another 1,000, it's knee deep. I measured it again 1,000, thigh deep. I don't know how many times this goes, but it went up another 1,000, and it goes down, and finally it says there's a river. This is all blessings. Water is a blessing. If it's ankle deep, you can still get a drink. You can still water your garden. You can do some things, but there's still such a limitation of blessings in ankle deep water. You can't do the same thing in ankle deep water that you can in knee deep water. You know, I've baptized a number of people in different places and all that, and sometimes it's a struggle. I remember trying to baptize the old sister. What was her name? But anyway, the old sister, I tried to baptize her down there one time. I baptized her, but I baptized her down there behind the cement plant, and it was in way up, and the water was low, and got down, and I remember standing there in water about that deep thinking, this ain't going to work really well to try to baptize somebody down, get down low enough to baptize somebody in knee-deep water. Well, we got her under, but it was difficult. But there was so much, it had been so much better to have a full water. And it says, keep measuring and go down till it's a thousand. And before long, there's a river there. There's water to swim in, a river that can't be passed over. You can't swim far enough with this. This one you can do. You can drink from it. You can water from it. You can dive in it. You can't get to the bottom. There's so much benefits to the river like that. And the invitation to this is, don't treat it like it's ankle deep water and just wait around in the edges. Get out into the deep. Get out where there's a blessing. You can swim out there. You can do things in there. The idea of that I've got in my mind today is that the lack of blessings and the lack of help and hope and grace that we have when we're walking on the fence between the two. I want the good things of God. I want all of these things. But over here's the other side too, and I'm pulled back and forth, and there's a battle there sometimes. The Lord has an invitation here in this. The kingdom, I mean, this was until John, the law and the prophets were until John. It all comes up to this point to where now John starts proclaiming Christ. He's preaching something more. It isn't just law and boundaries and, oh, don't do this and, oh, don't do this. But there's something better that's come. There's an actual experience that's come. It's alive and it's deep and it is. But every man presses his way into this. This don't fall on you while you're sleeping at night. This don't just happen with a lightning flash and a thunder crack. This is something you got to press your way into it. But it's there for every one of us. And Lord, help us to give ourselves the blessing that we forfeit. Many times, the things that we don't see is when Scripture says that if you live in the Spirit, walk also in the Spirit. In other words, if you got the proclamation in your life and this is what you've decided to do with your life, then allow it to be in your daily walk. Allow this. not only to be that I go to services and I do the functions and I do that, but walk with it. Allow it to be seen. There's so much that God wants to do and speak to us, and we can see the Lord and the blessings of it when we allow it to be on our walk. I thought in my mind one time, I thought in my mind that when I quit my daily job and went full time, that I'm going to have all this mind time for the Lord. Mind time for the Lord is in wherever you're at and wherever you're walking. And I'm going to tell you that right now. The best messages I ever preached in my life, nobody heard them because I preached them in my car driving across the mountains to work. The best times I ever had in the Lord was while I was at work in the coal mines. And I didn't realize it at the time. I thought that if I had this change a venue somehow, that I was going to become more spiritual or have more time. I thought these things was interfering with me somewhat. And do you know, the Lord wants us to have the normal things of life and put God in all the normal things of life. God can go to work with you. God can be in the middle of what you're doing. You can pray while you're doing things. God can be in the middle of all this. God wants His people to live a normal, productive spiritual life. Now, He doesn't want us to separate the two out. He wants us to have waters to swim in, and that's in all of our life. So we don't, by the help and grace of God through the Spirit leadership, we don't just say, I'm not doing this or this. You know, many times even there can be a conflict in what to do and how to do it. But the Scripture said, keep yourself unspotted from the world, but it doesn't say remove yourself from the world to keep yourself unspotted from it. Too many times that's the way we look at it. That's not what He means. He means grace up. Dive in. Be an example for me in the world. Be strong enough in your spirit. Be strong enough in grace to be able. You're going to have to dive in for this one. To be able to represent me in the middle of this. Because you know what? There's a dark, dying spiritual world out there. There's people that need help, and we are supposed to be in them the ambassadors of good news. We can look at it and say, I ain't going to taint myself by that. There is legitimate scriptural points for that. I agree. But you know, there's also the being able to have power to be able to walk into those places. They said to Jesus, He's eaten with sinners. Well, what a terrible thing to do, to eat with sinners. Jesus said, that's what I come for. That's what I come for. I'm strong enough of spirit that I'm not going to go in there and partake of what they're... I'm going to make a difference with my presence in their life. We live normal. Of course, we don't allow ourselves to be taken advantage of by the devil or anything else. We stay out of the way of sin, and we don't allow ourselves to be touched. And that's legitimate, but it's also legitimate to have enough of the grace of God and the power of God to be able to move the way the Spirit wants us to. So in Psalms 107, it says, I think I want 23rd verse. They that go down to, this was intriguing to me, I'll just have to tell you that as I pondered it. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof. Looking into the way of these old sailing ships, do you know what was most dangerous to these old sailing ships when back in the day where there were ships like that? You know what? Do you know what the worst thing, the most dangerous things for these old ships was? No wind. There was times, I think Hudson Taylor actually had an event in the book, his book, to where in one of his voyages to China where they got out of ocean currents. There was places where the currents were, they got out of ocean currents and the wind died down to, there was no wind. And they sat floundering, aimlessly floundering, no drive, no push, no way to go. They didn't have a galley with oars. They had a sailing ship, and there was no forced labor on there. It was just a sailing ship, and they was floundering out in the wide ocean. This was the most dangerous things to these ships. They say the worst is no wind. North wind, south wind, east wind, west wind can all get you back to port. Now, I don't know enough about sailing. I think I know a little bit about it, though. It don't have to blow your direction necessarily for you to take angles and go. And they say all wind takes you back to port. But no wind is the most dangerous. And do you know where the most dangerous place to be? In a storm in those ships were? Close to the shore. The safest place for a sailing ship with the wind, the safest place was way out, deep out. Send them out. Sometimes they would go out because it was the rocks and the dangers. And the idea here is Lord, let me get deep enough out. Let me go far enough out that every little wind isn't got me in danger of crashing in the rocks. Every little episode that comes, my emotions, every little thing that comes, I'm ready to be destroyed. You know, that's because you ain't out far enough. Let me get out there far enough. And yeah, storms come, but this ship's made to take the storms. I can take the storms. They're not going to crash me. But when you're in those places and you don't know where the rocks are even sticking up at, you don't know where it's at, you don't know how far it is, it gets dark, the storms are blowing, the wind, the lightning, the thunder, you can't steer. You drop the mast down, the winds, and there you are. One little push of the winds can push you into a disaster. The idea of it is that how am I going to deal with that? Does anybody here ever living for God ever be in what you would call a storm? Have you ever had a storm, spiritually speaking? Have you ever been in a place like that? Well, you've not lived for the Lord very long if you've not been in one of those kind of places, because those places are commonplace, not only for Christians, folks. I'm going to tell you, everybody's got to go through the storms. The storm's got to happen for every one of us. But the idea of the writer here is that I'm ad-libbing a lot. You're giving me a lot on this one. But what the writer was saying is that they that go down to the sea, and that they're in their process of their merchantries and their merchant ships, and they go out. The one thing that they keep in mind always is that this thing's bigger than me. And they see the hand of God, is what he was saying. These people see the great hand of God out there, because who can stir up such a wave like this? Who can calm them when they need calm? Who can send the winds that drives us? And who can tell them to stop? I think a lot of times the problem that we can run into in our living for the Lord is that we become stagnated and we're not in very deep. And it's easy to be affected when you're not in very deep. There was a scripture, and you can look at it, but it's in John 6, somewhere around 66, 67, to where Jesus asked his disciples. This is when many of his disciples walk no more with him, simply because there was a little ripple in their understanding. They didn't know the Lord very strongly. They hadn't went very deep in the idea of God. Because when he said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, they said, this offends me. What today, he asked the disciples, will this offend you also? Will you also go away? What is it that can offend us away from the Lord today? Well, you can't say nobody ever goes away because many, 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 many people have went away. What was it that caused them to go away? They got offended by something or other. And Jesus says to his disciples, will you go away also? But the ones that had been there, you have to understand something. These men left their occupations. I don't know what these other men did. It doesn't say what they did. But these men here, Jesus had said to them, follow me. Matthew leaves his, what, he done the receipts at custom, he was an agent. He up and, that's over. The fishermen left their nets at the sea. They left. They left what they was doing. They got in. They was in waters to swim in. And so they had seen more than these others had seen. You know, that's where our faith is built. Our faith is built when we go and give to God. There was a writer that said, your faith is only as strong. Remember this always, he said. Your faith is only as strong as it is in your hardest trial. Because that's what shows it. This is what your where your faith is really at. And these other disciples had seen the miracles of God. They had listened and been penetrated, I believe, not only with the eye vision. You have to understand, the Spirit of God had witnessed to them, inside them, of the things that this was right. They had got in deep enough to see things and understand things. And I tell this story, but it was funny to me, but Brother Gordon told me, I told it here many times, but Brother Gordon told me one time that he was driving home from a meeting and they didn't have no money and they didn't have no gas in their car and their car was running out of gas and they knew that the gas tank, they didn't have enough gas in their tank to get them home, but they didn't want to run out of gas. And so they're going along and his wife and they finally said, what are you going to do? They didn't have no money, didn't have no gas. And so Brother Gordon says, I'm going to stop up here and go pray. And so he stopped at this, pulled over at this area, and he gets out to go pray, and he looks, he says, I'm going to go over there and pray. And when he walked over there, he said there was a $20 bill laying there in the grass. And he got the $20 bill, and back in $20, I mean, you're talking, this was in the 60s. You know, this $20 bill would have went a long ways. And he got that $20 bill, and he said to me in his testimony, he said, well, Brother Marty, I don't know what people think about that. But he said, I think that was the Lord. I said, Brother Gordon, I do too. I mean, it's easy for me to consider that being the Lord. But why did he get that testimony? Because there was a trial of his faith. Why did he get his faith built up more? Why did he? Because there was a place. There was a place there for it. He allowed a place in his life for it. The answer isn't that you don't ever go anywhere. The guy that's sitting with his legs crossed in a building that was built around him never experiences those things. How can you experience those things to where we get together in the fervency of our spirit and praise for someone and they jump up shouting, God touched me? How can you do that from inside of a block? That's not what God wants. God does want us to give everything in, not a fence dweller on it, but Lord, what I'm doing is for you. Do I stop? Does everybody stop working? No, but you work for God. That's a consecration. I work for God. I give it to Him. Of course, you don't stop. You keep going with the occupation, or as I may say, the calling wherewith you are called. God puts us all in different positions. Every one of us is here. I mean, Tyrell does mechanicing up there. He's going to see people regularly that I don't see. I'm not putting you on the spot, Tyrell, but you are on the spot. You can't help it. You're on the spot. You're going to run into people.
And you got he's a truck driver. He's driving around. He's going to see people regularly and talk to them and be in contact that I never will. I don't go to the forestry department, Jake. I don't see those people. All of us have a place in there. I mean, Sister Vaughn has a shop. People come in and out. You're going to have a smile. I'm sorry. In the Lord, there's going to have to be. That's what the Lord wants. And the answer to the conflict that we may have isn't that there's some spiritual, I got to walk spiritual like I'm glowing. We're common, normal people that live for Christ. We're common, normal people that have within us the love of God that can reach out to people. They can see the Spirit if they're in tune to it in our smile. And sometimes God will turn that light up a little bit for more people. But you know how actually, I don't have to be smart enough to do this. All I have to do is give myself to God enough to do it. Brother Sammons was one of the greatest examples in my life. And he was a poor old guy. What was his education? Did he go to eighth grade? I think he said he quit eighth grade, didn't he? I think he said he quit before he got through with the eighth grade or something. Wasn't very educated. He said a lot of words wrong. His grammar was pretty poor and bad. But, you know, God really done something for him. College-educated people would call him up. I know this for a fact. They would call him up and try to get counsel from him. This poor old Eastern Kentucky hillbilly that didn't have no education or nothing. Run into Jesus. And it made a difference in his life, and he had a power about him. And that was from getting into it completely. You know, it would be kind of scary for me, I'll have to say, to get in an old wooden vessel with sails on them. I'd want land in sight. You go ahead and sail, but don't you sail too far out. You keep the land in sight. You know, it takes something. It takes something of faith to launch out. You know, there was amazing things about this. You know, there is ocean currents that you about couldn't go somewhere if you tried to stay within sight of land. You couldn't get there. But there's ocean currents out in the middle of the oceans that these guys learned about, and they could get in them ocean currents and they could just go. Didn't need a lot of the wind, but they could go in these ocean currents and go and put themselves in the hands of something that they couldn't see. They understood it enough to know that this will work. And they put themselves in, and when we put ourselves into the deep, I just feel like sometimes in our spiritual life that the damage or the problem, John 15, I think, when Jesus says, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches," and he says about this, "Without me, you can do nothing," and that is seems to me like such a place of, I wonder how many questions gets answered simply with that passage. Why am I in the place that I'm in? Why did this, how am I this place? Why is my spiritual life doing? Why can't I keep victory? Why all these things? You know, here is an answer. Without me, you can do nothing. He says plainly, if you're not hooked to me, there has to be a hooking. We can go through the psychology of it. We can go through the mechanics of it. But you can't do nothing unless you hook, right? You got to hook on. There has to be a good grafted connection there. And it helps, I feel like, that instead of the debating back and forth about the whole idea, God wants us to be fathers, mothers. He wants us to have occupations. He wants us to do those kind of things. There's occupations by their nature that would be really hard to do the will of God. I understand there's things that's just evil. There's some things that's just wrong. Those kind of things. But for the most part, the Lord wants us to, He calls us to be a certain, not everybody was called to public speaking. Not everybody's supposed to be a preacher. Not everybody's supposed to do that. But to the calling that He gives us, He wants us to go completely in on God. Get completely in. Lord, You're still the one that leads and guides this. I always appreciate it. I don't think you know him, but some of you might know him. You know Brother Tom Rivers? Brother Mike might know Brother Tom. I don't know how many knows him in here. He lives in Racine, Wisconsin. He's been at Monarch. He was up in the Wisconsin meeting many times. We know him quite well. He was a carpenter by trade. He's a remodeler. He doesn't build from scratch. He remodels places and those kind of things. And when he started this occupation, started doing this and having to deal with people and give estimates and all these kind of things, he told me, well, I remember when he started, and he told me that his policy was that, God, I want You to pick my jobs. I want You to stop jobs that I shouldn't have. And he put God so much in his business and depended on the jobs. He would not push and fight for jobs that didn't seem like they'd work no matter how much money was in them. And he done his thing with the Lord. And he said, he told me one time, he said there was this job, and he said he had the potential of making a lot of money on this remodel job. It was just this good cushy, and he saw this job and he kind of coveted, he kind of wanted the job, best I remember his statement, and it looked like it was the right thing, but the Lord started putting blocks in his way and he couldn't quite get it. And finally one of his partners, somebody else that he knew, got the job, and it was a disaster. And I remember him telling me how much money this guy lost on this guy, completely fraudulent, all the thing it was. And I said, well, Brother Tom, it sounds like your policy of putting God in everything worked. It sounded like being willing for God to blow the winds, to drive the ship, for being able to do that. It seems like that worked well for you. I'm going to tell you, it always will. It may not be. You can lose financially and it still be the Lord. Do you know that? We don't know everything. But you can't lose by putting God into everything. So my little message today is that find how deep the waters are. Go ahead and go on out there. Perhaps, I'm not the Holy Ghost here. I'm just saying, by experience of life and understanding, perhaps God wants you to be the prayer warrior. You got to start somewhere. Maybe it's just praying out in service. Maybe it's just stepping out. Maybe the Lord wants you to have an active role in something. God will lead you through. There's no doubt. You just need to step out in the water. You need to get out deep enough to where the Lord can have His way in it all. I appreciate the Lord today. You all pray for me.